Thank you, David. And our second reading today, probably kind of equally well known. So if you knew that passage, you probably know this passage. It's Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones. So it's really a fun reading. In fact, I bet as I'm reading it, y'all think back to this lovely song about dry bones, them dry bones. Yeah, it's that passage. So Ezekiel tells us, he says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me all around them, and there were very many lying on the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'Lord God, you know.' And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones. Prophesy and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinew upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am God.' And so I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked up, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then the Lord said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' And I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. And then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will act. Thus says the Lord.'" Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. So it's such an honor to be able to be at this service with the baptisms of Andrew and Addie and Ben, and thought a good bit about what I would like to use for passages. And I remembered a person, a professor type, who once told me that the story of Israel crossing the Red Sea is the best story of rebirthing that has ever been written. You know, so I mean, I absolutely trust that this story happened, rather like it is laid out, and I get all that. But as I explore the story itself, you know, so the story is, yeah, the people of Israel, if you know the story, they got down, they ended up going down into Egypt because in a famine, when they were just one family, a family drove them down into Egypt, and they were favored by the Pharaoh there, the king, and they were given very great land upon which to live, and they multiplied, and they became a really big nation, and new Pharaoh came up, didn't know who they were, and decided to enslave them all and put them to work building pyramids. And it wasn't great life for them. So they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up this guy named Moses. And Moses worked with God and eventually got the Pharaoh to agree to let the people go. And the Israelites were no more than out of Cairo or Egypt. And the Pharaoh had a V8 experience. He goes, oh my gosh, I just let go of my workers. How am I going to build my pyramid? And so he had kind of a change of mind, a change of heart. And he gathered all of his army together and decided to chase down the Israelites and bring them back. So the Israelites have been promised some freedom. The Egyptians have decided that they don't really want the Israelites to have all that freedom. The Israelites have come in with their horses and chariots. The Hebrews are on foot, and but part of what they did is they got lots of treasure and they got lots of sheep and goats to make them rich as they went across. So anyway, here you have this amazingly dramatic moment where Pharaoh and his army are closing in, and the Israelites find themselves up against the Red Sea. Now, it's a big body of water. You're not going to swim across it. And, you know, in David's passage, I can so be with them and hear them. What's wrong? Weren't there enough grave sites in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in the wilderness? I mean, what's the matter with you, Moses? What were you thinking? This is a really bad idea. We are terrified. And they should have been terrified. And I don't know, have you ever had those times in your life where you just kind of did everything the way you were supposed to? And you just kind of follow the rules and you find yourself all of a sudden, a life that you thought was supposed to go one way turns into where it's kind of not doing that anymore. And then you feel like you find a way out of that and you take the path out of the kind of humdrum or the disappointment that is feeling like your life and you're going forward with that and you hit an obstacle that feels absolutely insurmountable. I don't know if you've had that experience. I've had that experience. Most people I know have bumped into that one, you know, and here I am. My whole past is behind me. I can't go back there. It's dangerous to me. And I don't know how to find my way into the future. And I'm terrified. And I feel like I am paralyzed by the fear of the moment. And God says to Moses, reach out your hand over the water. And Moses does that. He trusts the word of the Lord. And the Lord brings this newness of life through this strong east wind and drives the water up one side and the other. And the Israelites cross on dry ground. It's an absolutely amazing thing that happened. And I don't know what exactly caused the whole thing. Some people say, well, it was earthquakes set off by a volcano eruption that caused a tsunami. And actually, what the Egyptians got to walk across was the what do you call it when the waves go out? The water goes out before the tidal wave comes in. Anyway, it was one of those things. So it's all perfectly reasonable. This is not a miracle. It's just reasonable. The timing was kind of interesting, very coincidental. But isn't it fascinating how the Lord can open up to our lives at the moment when we need it, the possibility to find a way forward in a way that we absolutely could not have imagined. So I love the Charlton Heston movie thing where you got these wonderful walls of water and the people are going through. And it is what the scripture says. Water's on their right and on their left and they're going through on dry land. And I perfectly love that. But if it happened the other way, I don't care very much. I don't have to deflate the miracle that at the time of the need of the people, God made possible a way to go forward in their lives. And it was a way that they had not expected. So they go and they find the promised land and they have their time of judges and then they have their time of kings and then they have some kings that aren't such great kings and then they get carried away into bondage and they find themselves in Babylon. And while they're in Babylon, they just continue to be defiant. First, they went to Babylon, just kind of the leaders, but people, with even without their leaders, decided to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And so they sent someone to just destroy the entire city, and the walls were torn down, and the temple was destroyed, and everything that the people had known to be their place of being, their way of being, their identity, their sense of who they were, had been destroyed. And they find themselves captive in a distant land, and they find themselves without hope. So here I am, I'm an Israelite, I am from Jerusalem, the city of the great king, and I have been carried away, and now I'm living in Babylon, and the world that I had known, that I identify as my own, has been given over to other people, and I am alone in a distant place, and I see no way out of this. There's a very powerful ruler who is keeping me, who is subjugating me, and I have no sense of hope. It is at that time that God takes Ezekiel and takes Ezekiel out and shows Ezekiel this vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And I don't know about you all, but I have had times in my life where I feel like I'm all dried up. It's like I don't even know how to hope anymore. I remember we did a Bible study here at the church. It was a study, and we had a family come whose kids were not doing well. You know, and I said fairly foolishly, but I said something about, well, there's always hope. And the mother of the child who was particularly not doing well said, I don't want hope. I can't afford to hope anymore. I have been hoping for a long time, and there is no hope. All it does is get my hopes up, and then my heart is broken, and my dreams are dashed. And this woman, I'd never heard anything like that before. And I thought immediately of this passage and the dryness of the bones when it feels as if there is not hope, there is not possibility, there is no way forward, there is no way back. I will be consumed and I will be disappeared in a land that is not my own, forced by people who I do not know and I do not recognize. My hope is dried up. And the Lord says, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones. They believe that nothing is possible. But with me, all things are possible. I remember the covenant that I made with Abraham. I remember the covenant I made with Moses. I remember the covenant I made with David, and I will return the people to their place of being. And so the prophet prophesied, and there was movement, and hope reemerged. And that seed that had been arid and forgotten for so long sent forth a shoot. And the shoot offered a possibility. My friends, as we come this day to celebration of sacrament, to celebration of hope, to come together to make the claim that on the lives of these young people, that we together, God's community, will live in such a way that their hope will be real, and their hope will be realized. And in absolute honesty, these children are also my hope. They are our hope. That the story entrusted to us through hundreds of generations will continue to be shared in the generations to come. As we come to baptism today, we claim that we will support Andrew and Addie and Ben, to know the love of God in the midst of their lives. And we will live in such ways that they will see that love acted out in us. And we claim that with our lives, we will touch their lives, so that when they are the old and the gray ones sitting in these pews, they will be celebrating baptisms because of the promise that God's story will continue to be alive and continue to call people out of emptiness and into the marvelous light that is ours in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the rattlings in this congregation today, the baby noises that compete with pastor's words, the sound of bones coming together to create the hope that is our future, to be empowered by the Spirit that is your breath, and to be willing to stand and transform the world received in all of its hope and in all of its brokenness. We claim the lives of each person here and the lives of those to be received this day to the sacrament of baptism. In Jesus' holy name, amen.